Father, we thank you for your presence right now. Lord, we thank you that you are here for us and not against us. Lord, I thank you that you are in the business of transforming lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you want to mend every broken heart this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that you want to heal every disease and sickness this afternoon. Lord, I thank you that you want to speak to us this afternoon. Father, I pray as we open your word together, Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, minister to us. Jesus, we need you this afternoon. We need you in our lives. Lord, it is all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. It's such a joy to be able to bring the word this afternoon. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 to 16. I've entitled my message this afternoon, I Choose to Grow in My Faith. I choose to grow in my faith. We choose to grow in our faith, amen. We're not just going to sit comfortably where we are in our spiritual journey. We're going to grow together, amen. Because I believe God wants us to grow in every area of our lives, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. Verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech. Everyone say in speech. In love. In faith. And in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Amen. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone, let me say that again, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Two things. Your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You will save both yourself and your hearers. See, in this passage of scripture, we see Paul instructing Timothy to continue and focus on his growth. You see, Timothy as a leader was to grow spiritually so that the whole church could see his spiritual progress and imitate it. In other words, what I believe Paul is trying to say to Timothy here is this. Yes, Timothy, you might be young in your age, but don't let that limit you. Amen. Don't let your age restrict you. Doesn't matter, young or old. Amen. We are to continue to grow together. We are to continue to grow together. We are continue to be an example. You see, no leader, no believer can lead others where he or she has not been themselves. See, no person can lead another person where they have not been themselves. Acts chapter 3 verse 6, it says, such as I have, I give to you. Such as I have, I give to you. See, it's a basic principle of life and ministry. We cannot give what we do not have. If we have the Spirit in us, our words become full of the Spirit. But if we have no Spirit in us, our words become just pure, plain words with no power. Such as I have, I give to you. Verse 13, it says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture and preaching and teaching. There is power in public reading of scriptures. Amen. There is power in public reading of scripture. Until I come give attendance, says King James Version. In other words, devote yourself. Be observed in. You see the Word of God. Firstly, the Word of God, it is active. Amen. The Word of God, it is active. Secondly, the Word of God, it is alive. The Word of God is active and the Word of God is alive. When we read the Word reads us. See, when we read the Word of God reads us. In other words, it is like a mirror. When we read the Word of God, our true nature gets revealed to us. What is inside of us gets revealed to us. Whenever I read the Word of God, it shows me how much I need Jesus. Yeah. And I pray He does the same thing to each and every one of us. For when we read the Word, may He reveal to us and may He show us how much we need and how much we need to depend on Him. Paul instructs Timothy to continue to devote himself to public reading of the Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You see, a growing believer understands that before they teach others, they must teach themselves. Before we teach others, we need to teach ourselves. This brings me to my first point. To grow in our faith, we must become intentional learners. To grow in our faith, we must become intentional learners. So how can we get better understanding of the Word? How can we get more depth and wisdom? How can we overcome obstacles? Growth doesn't happen accidentally. We need to be intentional about growth. We need to be intentional about growth. It is not accidental. It is intentional. It is intentional. Church, we have to be very intentional about our spiritual growth. You see, so what are some of the reasons for why we don't grow? What are some of the reasons for why we don't grow? I'll come up with some of the reasons. And the first reason is this. Assuming we automatically grow. That's one of the reasons why we don't grow. Assuming we automatically grow. What I'm trying to say is this. Coming to church and reading the Bible once a week does not help us in our growth. Coming to church once a week and saying, that's it, I'm going to grow in my journey with Jesus Christ, it does not produce fruits in our lives. See, we assume that it will help us. We assume that it might grow us in our faith, but it's not doing anything. We're just attending. Amen? Growth does not come by attending. Growth comes by learning. Amen. Growth comes by daily investing in our soul. You see, for me to grow as a believer, I need to be very intentional about where I spend my time. I need to be very intentional about what my soul is receiving. I need to be very intentional about what sort of food, spiritual food, I'm intaking. You see, what we eat spiritually is who we become. If we're feeding ourselves lots of negativity, our soul will be negative. But if we're feeding ourselves the Word of God, our soul will be active and alive, because the Word of God is active and alive. Amen? The Word of God is active and alive. And if we are feeding ourselves the Word of God, the truth which transforms our lives, then automatically our soul should be active and alive. It should be. The reason why we don't grow is because we assume growth comes automatically. And sadly, I want to tell us this, it does not come automatically. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. Second reason, waiting for the right time, but not doing anything when it comes. The reason why we don't grow is we wait for the right time, but when the right time comes, we don't do anything. See, we bring loads of excuses. Why didn't you go to church? Oh, because I had this, because I had that. Why didn't you read your Bible? Oh, because I was so tired. Why didn't you come to prayer meeting? Oh, because I had to go meet my friends, this and the other. We come up with lots of different excuses. And the reason we don't see growth is because our lives are full of excuses. And until and unless we learn to cut those excuses and finally take on this whole baton of responsibility, saying, I'm going to make my soul grow in Jesus Christ, then we will see growth in our lives.
Yeah.
When is the right time? Grace said it earlier on. The right time is now. Amen. The right time is now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait till next month. You don't have to wait till next year. No, you can do it right now, right here. You can make that decision right now, saying, do you know what? I've had enough. And I'm not going to let all these negativity wear me down. I'm not going to let all these labels pull me down. I'm going to stand up right now. I'm going to choose to follow Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. I'm going to choose to make myself fully available to Him. See, it's not about ability.
No.
No, it's about our availability. How available are you to Jesus? Because we don't need ability to grow in Jesus. We just need to make ourselves available to Jesus. Then He pours His Spirit in us. Then He pours His truth in us. The reason why we don't grow is because we're not making ourselves available to Jesus. The reason why we see a lot of things rising within us and no power to deal with it, because we're not giving Jesus the key to our heart. And if we give Jesus the key to our heart, then He does the work. He does the work. Why we don't grow? We don't grow because we settle for an easy option.
Yeah.
We settle for an easy option. Paul instructs Timothy. Timothy, you are to grow in your spiritual journey. You are to grow in your spiritual faith. Devote yourself to public reading of Scripture. Devote yourself to the Word of God. There are going to be challenges. Each and every one of us. They are going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy. We looked at it last week. It's not going to be an easy journey. It's going to be tough. There's going to be lots of giants that we need to face. There are going to be lots of giants that are going to try to torment us and discourage us. But growth comes by facing our giants. We have to face the giants. I don't know what sort of giant you might be facing right now. But I want to say to you this. Don't run away from your giant.
Amen.
Don't run away from your giant. Because God wants you to become giant slayer.
Amen.
God wants you to be giant slayers in Jesus Christ. You see, David, he did not run away from Goliath.
No.
Those of the Israelites, they were running away from Goliath. This Philistine was taunting the people of God. Saying, where's your God now? You worship your God. You say this and the other about your God. If you really worship your God, if your God is really with you, come and fight with me. And not one single person steps out. But then we have this mighty man of God, David, amen. We have this mighty man of God. He looks small in his outer appearance. He does not look like a soldier. He does not look like a warrior. But it's not what we see on the outside, it's what is happening inside of us, amen? You might look at your life right now and you might say, oh, on the outside I'm weak, on the outside I'm fragile, on the outside there's lots of pain that I'm carrying with me. But it's not about what you see on the outside, it's about what Jesus has placed in you, and He has placed that giant slayer spirit in you. It's in you. Church, stay with me, it's in me. The greater is He that's in you. Amen. See, we are called. Each and every one of us, we are loved. Each and every one of us, we have been given this authority, and we have to use this authority. Church, if only we truly begin to understand the authority we carry, my goodness, there will be a tsunami taking place. My goodness, there will be a spiritual earthquake taking place. A spiritual quake, church quake taking place in Doncaster, amen. And I believe it's going to happen. And I believe it's already happening. During our services, we're already seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happening. Amen. We're already seeing it. And I want to encourage you, if you've experienced any signs, wonders, and miracles, come and testify. Come and testify. Encourage the body of believers. Encourage the body of Christ. Because each and every one of us, God wants us to increase our volume in our worship, in our praise, in our preaching of the gospel, in our proclamation of the truth. God wants us to be loud. God wants us to shout. God wants us to proclaim. God wants us to use our voice. The enemy wants you silent. The enemy wants you quiet. The enemy wants you to stay mute for the rest of your life. The enemy wants you to be quiet for the rest of your life. Because the enemy constantly bombards you with lots of lies, telling you you're worthless, telling you you're useless, telling you what you have is nothing. But we have everything in Jesus, amen? The Word of God is exactly, completely different to all these lies. The Word of God reminds us that we are more than conquerors. The Word of God reminds us that we have victory in Him. In Him. We have victory in Him. So I'm not going to settle for less, but I'm going to settle for the best. Church, let's not settle for less. Let's not give in to quick fix. Let's not give in to quick temptation. No, God has something amazing in store for each and every one of us. We are so quick to settle. We are so quick to give in. But I believe God wants us to hold on tight. God wants us to hold on to this faith. I've seen loads of good men give in to temptation. And I pray for myself each and every day. God, make me wise. God, give me the strength to carry on. God, give me the wisdom, the discernment, so that I may walk in this journey faithfully. And I pray the same for each and every one of us as well. I pray the same for each and every one of us. I pray that may the Spirit of God give you so much strength that no temptation will be able to shake you. No lies of the enemy will be able to move you. But you will be so steadfastly stood up on the Word of God, on the solid foundation, that no waves will be able to tear you down or anything. Amen. How can we become intentional learners? Firstly, ask questions. Ask questions. You see, there is no such thing as stupid question. A question is a question. I believe when Paul was with Timothy, and when Paul would teach Timothy the Word of God and show him truths from the Scripture, I bet Timothy would ask him a lot of questions. So Paul, can you tell me about this? Paul, can you tell me about that? You see, the reason why we don't grow is because there's loads of questions brewing in us, but we're too scared to ask questions. So I want to encourage each and every one of us. If you have a question, we've got a messenger group. Drop your question in there.
Yeah.
This body of Christ here right now, we're there to encourage one another. Nobody's going to judge one another. Nobody's going to think, oh, what a stupid question. No, nobody's going to think like that. We're all in this boat together. In my journey of faith, I've asked lots of questions. And there are so many questions I didn't ask. And when I look back now, I sometimes regret. You know, I've met lots of mighty men of God, and you know, rather than asking them questions, I was just there silent. Because I thought, you know, what if my question is a stupid question? See, and because I didn't ask, I was the one who didn't get to learn. You see? Absolutely. Children always ask, don't they? Ask, absolutely. And even in here with our church, we've got Andrew Grace and all the leaders. You might have loads of questions that you'd want to ask, but you might be thinking, oh, what if my question is really stupid? You know, I want to encourage you, please be brave and ask those questions. It is the only way we will grow together. It is the only way we'll be able to find out what's really happening in your life, in your world, and in our world. We need to ask questions, amen? I don't know, can you help me? That's one of the great things I've learned in my life now. When I don't know anything, rather than just doing it, I just ask, I don't know, can you show me? The amount of times we've done building works and I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, I look at Andrew and he knows I haven't got a clue. And I ask him, I don't know, Andrew, can you help me? Then he shows me, you know. He's never once said to me, oh, that's a stupid question. No. See, because he is more interested in me learning rather than where I'm coming from. And that's the same with church. See, we need to know where you are. We're here to help. Amen. Each and every one of us, we're here together. And we're here for one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to support one another. We're here to build one another. And the only way we're going to grow together is by asking questions. We need to ask questions. Secondly, we need to learn to take ownership. We need to learn to take ownership. Stopping the blame game. It started from the very first chapter in the Bible, Genesis. Adam blamed Eve blamed the serpent. The blame game just continued, you see. But it was everybody's fault. Rather than saying, we did it together, they were like, oh, he did it. And he was like, oh, she did it. And the blame game just continued. And that's for each and every one of us. Oh, why didn't you come to church? Oh, because of her. Because of him. He pressed me a button. She pressed me a button. Oh, she got on my nerves. That's why I just couldn't read the Bible. Oh, he got on my nerves. That's why I just couldn't pray. You know, it's not about others. It's about me, myself. You see, I could have played the game, blame game all day long. And if I would have continued on that, I wouldn't be standing here this afternoon. You know, because I had every reason not to come to church. I had every reason not to read the Bible. I had every reason not to pray. But in spite of whatever, I still chose to pray. Amen. I still chose to worship. I still chose to come to church. It all starts with a decision.
Yeah.
See, when people tell me and give me all different excuses, I'm not, I might sound really harsh here, but I'm not, I'm trying not to be, you know. When people give me a lot of different excuses, it shows their hearts.
Yeah.
See, if your heart is for God,
hungry.
If your heart is hungry for Jesus, you will make time for Jesus. If your heart is hungry for more of God, you will say no to your other appointments, Sundays, and you'll come to church. If your heart is thirsty for His Spirit, you will cancel all your appointments, you know, and you'll go to Bible study. But if your heart's not hungry and thirsty for God, yes. We have to learn to take ownership. We have to learn to take responsibility. We have to. Verse 14. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. This brings me to my second point. To grow in our faith, we must stay open to the Spirit. To grow in our faith, we must stay open to the Spirit. You see, so much has been written in recent years about spiritual gifts that we have almost forgotten the grace of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You see, the word gift is the Greek word charisma. It simply means a gracious gift from God. See, the Spirit is a gracious gift from God.
Yeah.
Because God knows what we're like. Because God knows we keep messing up. And that's why He sent His Spirit. See, Jesus was with us. You know, He taught us the truth. He went to the Father. Jesus knew what we'd be like. He was like, oh, no, we need to send the Holy Spirit. We need to send the Holy Spirit. So Father sent the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful gift from God to each and every one of us. No. See, Paul keeps on encouraging Timothy. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy, chapter 1 verse 6, he encourages Timothy again, saying, stir up the gift of God,
amen,
which is in you. Stir it up. He said it in 1 Timothy, but he said it again in 2 Timothy, meaning Timothy didn't quite catch it the first time. See, sometimes we don't quite catch it the first time. We need reminding again and again and again and again and again and again and again. 100 times maybe, even more for some of us. But we need reminding, amen. So Paul here reminds Timothy again. Listen, Timothy, I've already told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Stir up the gifts.
Amen.
Don't neglect the gifts. Do not neglect the gifts. You see, when God calls us into His service, He equips us to do His work. When God calls, He also equips. Amen. When we make ourselves available, He gives us the ability. See, we have nothing in ourselves that enables us to serve Him. The ministry is all about Jesus. The ministry all comes from Jesus. The ministry will be and should be always about Jesus. So why do we need the Spirit of God to grow in our faith? Why do we need the Spirit of God to grow in our faith? Firstly, Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. You see, conviction is something that's missing these days. Why? Because there's no Spirit of God. Yeah. A person who carries the Spirit of God in them should always be convicted of their sins. It's what the Word of God says, John 16 verse 8, when He, the Spirit of God, comes, He will convict you of your sin. Simple as that. When He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. See, the Spirit of God always convicts. The Spirit of God always convicts. That's what we need, the Spirit of God, to grow in our faith. The Spirit of God always shines light in our darkest areas of our heart and reveals it to us and shows us how much we need Jesus. The Spirit of God always convicts us of our sins. Why do we need the Spirit of God? Secondly, Holy Spirit brings direction and guidance. Holy Spirit brings direction and guidance. John 16 verse 13 says this, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." Amen. "He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears." Who does the Spirit of God hear? The Father. "Whatever He hears, He will speak." So the Spirit of God hears in the throne room of God, and He speaks to us what He's heard. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Yeah. See, that's what we need, the Spirit of God. Because we need direction. My own wisdom is everywhere. I have no own wisdom. Don't, please don't listen to me, you know. I have no wisdom. That's why I preach the Word. Because if you start listening to me, my advice will be everywhere. You know, that's why we need the Spirit of God. That's why we need the wisdom from above. Not earthly wisdom. We don't need self-help books. We don't need self-help counseling this and the other. We have no such thing as self-help. We cannot self-help. Amen. I cannot help myself. That's why I need God's help. I cannot help myself. We have all these counselors, you know, producing lots of materials, self-help, 10 steps how you can make your life better, 10 steps how you can save your marriages, 10 steps how you can this, 10 steps how you can this. I'll give you one step. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'll give you one step. His name is Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Surrender it all to Jesus and see how He will help you. Amen. Stop going to self-help. Pick up your Bible. I need to pick up my Bible. You see, we look for easy option, like I said earlier on, but there is no easy option. It's Christ or nothing. Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit brings direction and guidance. Amen. Thirdly, Holy Spirit produces fruits in us. Holy Spirit produces fruits in us. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 23. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." Amen. Love. Come on, who wants love? "Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I think we all need self-control. Amen. We all need patience. We all need faithfulness. We all need kindness. Amen. We all do. And that's what we need, the Spirit of God. Because He produces fruits in us. Yeah. We need the Spirit of God because sometimes we struggle to forgive people. The Spirit of God gives us the strength to forgive people. We need the Spirit of God because sometimes people keep pressing our wrong buttons which they shouldn't press. And that's what we need, the Spirit of God, to still show them love and joy and peace and kindness. Amen. We need the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God helps us to produce fruits in our lives. Let's not be dry in our spiritual journey. Amen. Let's be fruitful. Let's be overflowing. Let us be alive. Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals it to us. Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. You see, what we see is not everything. There is more. There is more. See, we're just scratching the surface at the moment. Feeling His presence, we're just scratching the surface. There's more. experiencing a little bit of healing and we're just scratching the surface. There is more. Amen. There is so much more. And that's what we need to stay teachable. That's what we need to stay open to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 says these. These are the things that God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The deep things of God. I want to know the deep things of God. See, my little mind cannot contain all the surpassing knowledge. All the sovereignty of God. All the majesty of God. No, my little brain hasn't got the capacity. It will probably explode. It hasn't got the capacity. You see, that's how big our God is. And that's what we need, the Spirit of God. And that's what we need to stay connected to the Spirit of God. Because we cannot handle, that's why the Spirit of God only brings what we can handle at that time. Amen. Amen. And lastly, Holy Spirit brings boldness in us. We've heard Pastor Andrew's testimony of how when he was a young teenager, he said his words, he used to be very kind of shy, but when the Spirit of God hit him, I mean, you can see it now, can't you? He's uncontrollable for Jesus. Amen. And that is the Spirit of God. That's what the Spirit of God does to a person. See, when we open up our lives to Jesus, when the Spirit of God fills us with His power, all of a sudden there is this boldness. I remember preaching my first ever sermon, which was 7-8 years ago. I had like piles of notes with me, you know, and I took it to platform and I'm ready. I'm like, oh, I'm going to give the Word of God. I'm all prayed up. I'm all fasted and everything. I'm like, whoa, I'm ready. I'm going loud in my room. I'm going wild with tongues and everything. I'm like, I'm ready. But when I got there, my goodness, I just couldn't even say a word. This is honest truth. I couldn't say anything. Then I just grabbed my notes and I just sat down and I felt so embarrassed. You know, but at that moment, the enemy whispered in my head, see, I told you.
He's a liar.
See, I told you. You've not got it in you, you. You've not got it in you. But there was this another still voice that told me, you know what? You can do it. You can do it. Don't let that little fallback mess you up. You can do it. And I chose to listen to that still small voice. And next time, I took the same notes. And I preached the same message.
Yeah.
Amen. I preached the same message. But if I would have gave in to that lie at that time then, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be preaching the gospel. But it is not of me. It was the Spirit. She's the Spirit of God. At that moment when all these lies were just being whispered in the ears, the Spirit of God just hit me with that truth. Come on, boy, you can do this. You can do this. And I listened to that Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were the same. Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times, is now giving the gospel. Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus. See? He was scared. But boom, when the Spirit of God hit him, whoa, this boldness came up over him. You know, nobody was able to control him then. His mouth, like, he's preaching the gospel everywhere. You sit him down there, he'd give you the gospel. You put him in prison, he'd give the gospel there. This guy was unstoppable because of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus. And same for you as well, church. You might be sat in those beautiful chairs this afternoon and you might be thinking, oh, I'll never be able to preach the gospel. Oh, I tell you what, when you open up your life to Jesus, I tell you what, you'll be unstoppable. Yeah. Wouldn't have to close your mouth saying, oh, that's enough. You'd be like, oh, Jesus is not enough. People will be closing your mouth, you know. You'll be that fiery for Jesus.
Amen.
You'll be that fiery for Jesus. Oh, he's back again. Someone close the door. He's back again. She's back again. The Spirit of God gives boldness. Amen. Verse 15 and 16. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This brings me to my last point. To grow in our faith, we must devote ourselves fully to Christ.
Amen.
We must devote ourselves fully to Christ. It is all about Jesus. We're here because of Jesus. We're here for Jesus. Amen. See, no man can serve two masters. Either we're fully following Jesus or we're not following Jesus at all. Simple as that. Therefore, we need to watch our life and doctrine very closely. This includes everything. Everything, every aspect of our life. We need to prioritize Jesus above all. See, I was reading a book just recently, and it was one of them books, you know, leadership books. And as I was reading this book, I came across this statement. And this author, his statement was, to discover your purpose, you need to grow in self-awareness. Let me say that again. To discover your purpose, you need to grow in self-awareness. And I respect this author, but I didn't fully quite agree with the statement. He said, to discover your purpose, you need to grow in self-awareness. You see, this statement sounds good, and to a certain extent, it's true. Yes, we need to have some sort of self-awareness, but we need to be more aware of God's presence. Amen? We need to be God-awareness rather than self-awareness. You see, if we focus too much in ourselves, all the things of the past will suddenly pop out. All the weaknesses will suddenly be appearing. All of a sudden, sometimes we might feel insecure, inadequate, because we're so self-aware. You know, when we're so self-aware, like, it just, we're constantly looking at our shoes, if my shoes are tied properly, constantly looking at my trousers, my hands, if my hair's looking good. That's self-awareness. Because we're constantly aware of how people are viewing us. But if we become God-aware, I tell you what, it does not matter what people think about us. It will be all about Jesus. It will be all about serving Him. It will be all about serving His church. It will be all about serving His people. It will be all about following His footsteps. We need to devote ourselves fully to Christ. Jesus is the source of everything. Amen. Jesus is the source of everything. If I become self-aware, it will stop me from doing loads of things. But if I become God-aware, it will make me realize that it is not about me, but it is all about Jesus. It will make me realize that, hey, yes, there are flaws in my life. Hey, yes, I'm not able to do this, I'm not able to do that. But it is not me who is doing it, it is Jesus who's doing it. Amen? It is Jesus who's doing it. We proclaim the truth. We preach simple gospel, but a very challenging gospel. We preach it is all about Jesus. And if it's not about Jesus, then we don't want anything to do with it. That's what we preach. And it's challenging. We preach, pick up your cross daily. It's a challenging message. We preach, hey, you need to take responsibility now. You have to be faithful. You have to be committed. We preach that message. But it is not our message. It is Jesus' message. And we just proclaiming what we see in the Bible. Yeah. We're just proclaiming what we see in the Bible. It is all about Jesus. So to grow in our faith, I make that decision every day. Amen. Regardless of whatever I face in my life, I'm going to choose to grow in my faith. Absolutely. And please, church, make that decision as well. Regardless of whatever you face in your journey, in your life, choose to grow in your faith. Don't let any lies of the enemy shake you. Don't let any lies of the enemy uproot your faith. No, your faith is stronger than that. You might not know it, you might not see it, but your faith is stronger than that. Because God within you is stronger than what you see on the outside. He's stronger, so stronger. We must become intentional. We must stay open to the Spirit. We must devote ourselves fully to Christ. See, I pray that in the next few months, in the next few years, that each and every one of us will be proclaiming the gospel. We'll be laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick healed there and then. My prayer for each and every one of us is this, that our faith will be so much stronger and so much powerful that no lies of the enemy will be able to shake us or move us. Our faith will be so powerful and rooted in Jesus that regardless of whatever we see happening around us, we'll be stronger and stronger in our faith with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you. Father, we thank you so much that you are here right now. Lord, you see every hidden secrets of our lives, yet you still choose to love us. Yet you still choose to forgive us. And you are patient with each and every one of us. But at the same time, Lord, we know you want us to grow in our faith. We know, Lord, you want us to take responsibility of every areas of our lives and to deal with it. And I thank you, Lord, we're not doing it on our own strength. I thank you, Lord God, that it is not about self-awareness, but it is about God-awareness. And Lord, we choose to be aware of your presence. We choose to be aware of your truth, knowing that you are in the business of transforming our lives. You are in the business of changing our lives. And Father, you are the one who will bring to completion the work you have started in each and every one of us' lives. So Lord, I pray, Lord, as we continue to press on, as we continue to open up our hearts to you, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. While every eyes are closed and every head's bowed, I want to give you this opportunity. If you believe that the Lord has spoken to you this afternoon, I'm going to ask you to do that bold thing. We spoke about boldness, and now is the time to act. So if you feel and believe that the Lord has spoken to you this afternoon, and if you feel that you need to grow in your faith, and you're going to make that decision of moving forward and not looking backwards, I'm going to open up this altar to you right now. And us, as body of Christ, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe with you that the Lord is going to shift every areas of your life and empower you to face every giant and to slay every giant in your life. So I want to open up this altar to you right now. The Spirit of God is here right now. He is moving. And I don't want you to miss. He wants to empower you. He wants to refresh you. He wants to renew you. He wants to reshape you. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to come out and to respond. As every eyes are closed and every head's bowed, if that's you, now is the time to respond. Jesus. This is about you. This is about you. I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew and the team to please help me with this one. Church, this is about you. God wants to heal you. God wants to renew you. God wants to see what is really happening in you. But you have to make that decision. Jesus, precious Jesus, we worship you. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Jesus. Come on, church, let's just stretch our hands towards them and let's just pray for them. This is a bold statement and bold action they've just taken. And Lord sees that. And Lord sees the hunger in their hearts. And we're going to believe for a spiritual shift to take place. Amen. Jesus.